Sydney man. Y'all remember that, don't you? Sandy was even our example with her coat. Her coat was a new man. How many knows we talked about a lot, quite a bit about, seemed like I got a, I don't know if it's an echo or what it is to me, if you can change that. What? Oh, it's echoing to y'all too? Okay. Okay, sound lady. Get on that place. Anyway, we talked a lot last week about how that a lot of people, they'll say and they believe that God is in control. And I believe that God is sovereign. God is everywhere all the time, the Bible says. But he's not manifesting himself everywhere all the time, right? But even though he's there, David, he said, even if I make my bed in hell, you are there, right? Or I go to the heavens, you're there. But he's not in control of everything and everybody all the time. Now, ultimately, he's in control to where everything he said is going to end up exactly like he said. Right? Just like all the way from the beginning to the end of the Bible, God will say a thing, you know, he'll prophesy, have somebody prophesy something, or he'll say something, you know, and 2,000 and 3,000 years later, it will come to pass. Why? Because it's going to be exactly like God has said. But God is not in control of everything and everybody all the time. Just like this morning, if you ate breakfast, was God in control of that, or was you in control of that? Now, you might have, maybe you asked him, God, do you want me to eat breakfast today or do you want me to fast, you know? And maybe you was led if you ate or you didn't eat. But did he make you eat or not eat? No, he won't. If God was going to do anything, he would make everybody get born again. Right? Why? Because he loved the world that he gave Jesus for that very reason. So everybody could, and hopefully they would, but he knew they would not. Right? God owns us, I said, twice over. Once by creation, he owns us, right? Well, then we went astray through Adam and Eve and everything. So then he had to send Jesus so he could buy us back, just to redeem us back so he could say, here, make the choice. That's how good God is. He will not in any way enforce his will on anybody at any time. Because everything has to be by our own choice, our own free will. And that's one of the reasons why God wants us free from absolutely everything and everybody that could possibly influence us or bind us, so we have free will to choose what is right. Right? So, God is not in control of everything and everybody. If he was, he sure got the world in a mess. If God was in control of everything, there would be no jails. There would be no need for one. Right? Why? Because there would be no crime whatsoever. Right? The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. None. So when you see killing, stealing, destroying, things like that, and evil, who is that? That is the devil, right? According to John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. He said, but it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we know who the thief is, right? So God is not in control of everything and everybody. But he's come to make us free to make the choice that we choose him, that we choose right. Amen? So, we're going to pick this up. See where I want to go today. Now, we talked about over in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, how death reigned by one. Because Adam and Eve sinned, sin and death came in, death reigned. But then life came through Jesus Christ, right? Everybody that gets born into the earth, they're born into sin. Why? Because Adam sinned, and we know the seed is in the man, right? Women does not have seed. Men have seed. So every person was in Adam when he sinned. Therefore, everybody that gets born, they're born into sin. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, right? Okay, now, we talked about over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I mean chapter 5, I'm sorry, Let's read that. I got that in the King James Version too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we might have started reading this, but I don't know that we read the whole thing that I wanted to. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in... Well, that ain't looking right. I bet that's 2 Corinthians. Let me see here. Well, I got it right here on my paper. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, sorry. I'm going to start reading in verse 14 for time's sake. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all," talking about Jesus, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Now notice, he says, "Therefore, if any man," be that means human being, "be in Christ," that's when you get born again, "he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God." Now we read last week over in, Ephesians 4, that it talked about putting on the new man, and it says the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness after God, right? Okay, that's exactly what he's talking about here, that new man. He goes on and he says here, "All things are passed away, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sin, trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." He says, "So then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he has made," notice that, "he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, go over to, I don't know, you might want to hold your place here. I don't know, I might want to come back, I'm not sure. Go over to, let's see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me put me a marker here in case I want to come back. Is it 1 Thessalonians? Yeah. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read this in the Amplified version. And I'm going to start in verse 22 just for time's sake. He says, "Abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof from it, in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, like make you pure and holy." Notice not H-O-L-Y, it means your whole thing. He says, "consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body," he separates them, don't he? He says, "may your God sanctify you spirit, soul, and body, be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah." Now, you might be like, "well, I've heard this before." Well, that's fine. If you're living it, you're excited about it, and you could get up and preach and teach it to all the rest of us. When you're not, you're like, "oh, I know this." Well, why don't you think about somebody else in here or somebody else that's listening? Because I guarantee you, if you really lived, you would live completely free of everything. Remember what we just come off of, talking about how that be doers of the word and not hearers only, that you're deceiving yourself and being hypocrites and all of that? This actually flows right into, that have flowed right into what we're talking about right now. Now, he said that over there in 1 Corinthians there, he said, if any man, talking about human being, man, woman, child, whatever you are, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, repent of your sins, he comes in, now you are created, the Bible says, in him, after him, in righteousness, right, and true holiness. He's not talking about your body. He's not talking about your soul. He's talking about spirit. Now, you are a spirit. That's you. For an example, we all probably have seen somebody that's passed away or been to a funeral or something or another. You go up to the casket, that's a body. Just like the person, what you're seeing right now, you're seeing my body. You're not seeing my spirit. So when you go up to the casket or whatever, you don't see the spirit and you don't see the soul. But the part of the person that you do still see laying there is the body. That part was not created in righteousness and true holiness. That part won't be redeemed until he comes. Right? The Bible says it'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Right? That this mortal will put on immortality. This is the mortal part of me that you're seeing right now, that we see of you. So that's your body. Now, he said there over in 1 Thessalonians there, he said that God would sanctify you spirit, soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your reasoning center and where you make your decisions at. That part did not get born again. According to Romans 12, 2, that part of you must be renewed according to the Word of God. What's that mean? Remodel it. You don't tear it down. When you remodel a house, you don't tear it completely down, do you? You leave actually pretty much, if you're going to do a major remodel, you at least, you leave what they call the bones of the structure, but you redo the whole everything else to where it doesn't even look like it used to look. That's what he says. He talks about when you put on the new man, he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That part didn't get born again. But the part of you that got born again, that is created in righteousness and true holiness after God, is your spirit. That's you. That's you that's going to live forever. Now, you are a spirit whether you're born again or you're not born again. Spirit, you can't kill spirit. That's why you can't kill the devil. You can't kill angels. They're spirits. Spirits are going to live somewhere forever, and it's not here on the earth. Now, the part of you that got born again, that spirit, that's you. Now, we got that straight? All right, let's go over to, because I'm telling you, if you really get, it will help you. It will majorly help you. I know it's helped me and it's still helping me even now. I'm coming to a revelational knowledge, not just a head knowledge of, this is not me. So now I'm getting to where I talk to my body. I talk to my emotions. Because see, once you separate them, you can be in control. Your spirit. But when you don't, you act like and you think your emotions are you. I feel this. No, you don't. It may be a feeling, but you don't feel it. Why? Your spirit created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Your spirit wants nothing but what is righteous, what is holy, what is pure. The will of God, right? But everything else, if it's not been made to, it don't want nothing to do with God. Your body will still go honky-tonk and dance on the table and sleep with everybody there if you'll let it. It'll still smoke everything it used to smoke. It'll still drink everything it used to drink. Come on now. That's exactly the reasons why we have Christians. They are born again in their spirit, but they have never been renewed in their mind, and they do not control their body, so then they live a contradiction all the time. Been there, done that. So I know what I'm talking about. Doesn't mean they're not saved. They love God. Johnny the cussing Christian. I remember Johnny. See, he don't like to tell us nothing about himself because we remember. He don't tell us nothing. Now, Samantha, she'll tell you everything. About everybody. Johnny, he don't tell us much of nothing. But I remember, Johnny, you loved God, didn't you? But you still cussed. And you knew it wasn't right. Y'all ever heard that don't judge a book by its cover? But see, because of this, a lot of people, especially when they don't know and they don't understand, and lost people, they definitely don't know and understand, they think you are a pretender, that you're trying to act like you a Christian. But do you understand you're actually being a bigger hypocrite when you live that way, not because you're pretending to be a Christian, but because you are one. See, it's when you're doing the other, you're not one. You used to be that sinner. But once you get born again, according to the... Listen, I don't care what you feel like. That changes nothing. We just read the scripture that it says, God made Jesus to be sin. So therefore, He made me and you, once we get born again, to be righteous. I don't care what you just got. I don't care if you just called somebody out their name on the way in the door. You're still being made righteous. But I don't feel like you're going to have to get that out of the way. Feeling Christians are carnal, fleshly, ruled Christians. See, I thought we lived and we walked by faith. Oh, I do when I'm getting my car. Well, you better be doing something way deeper than getting a car. That should not be your main thing. Because when you get all this, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where's the Bible say the kingdom? In you. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness. His way of doing and being right. And when we do that, he says, all these things that the Gentiles seek. The car, the house, the clothes, whatever it is that you need is already provided. Now let's go over to 3 John. Ooh, glorious, it's getting good. I just preach it to myself, hallelujah. Third John, verse 2, there's only one chapter of John. Well, I'll go ahead and read one. What do I got that? King James Version, okay. He says, the older unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now notice this, he says, beloved. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's two separate things, right? That thou mayest prosper and be in health. How? Even as thy soul prospereth. He's saying basically the same thing he said over there in 1 Thessalonians that we read. Spirit, soul, and body. Right? He said here that thou mayest prosper. Right? Who's he talking about? Your spirit. The Bible says over in Proverbs, it's the strong spirit of a man that'll sustain him in times of trouble, weaknesses and infirmities and sicknesses and different things. You can be strong in your spirit and it can overcome the weakness of that physical body or even weakness of the mind. So that's what he said. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, that Teresa's spirit prospers. Right? Prospering in your spirit can get your body healed. But sickness and weakness in the spirit, how many knows it affects your physical body? That's how come if you're feeling like you need a spiritual vacation, you better gear up, baby. You better get in that Word of God and you better stay in there and meditate day and night. You better cut off that Facebook. I'm telling you right now, you better cut off that Facebook, you better cut off that TV, and you better get in there alone with God, and you better be fasting and praying. Why? You're spiritually weak. That's why you're feeling like you need a spiritual vacation, because see, whichever man you feed gets stronger. If you don't want a stray cat, you better not feed it. I know. I have four now. You know why, Johnny? Me and them kids seen this little cat out there hiding behind the tree out there by Travis's, used to be his old, I think the one you got now, old shed out there. And it's hiding behind that tree. And we all said, oh, it's so cute. Look at it. And Aiden seen it first in the tree up at my house. He's throwing a stick trying to get it down. He's out there just a-crying. He thinks that cat's stuck up there in that tree, but he ain't realizing that cat don't want you. So now, lo and behold, I don't know why. I think that God sent me the cat. I really do. But anyway, I was the only one the cat would have anything to do with whatsoever. I started feeding that cat, Johnny. If you don't want a cat, don't feed it. Why? Because you feed it one time, you have a cat forever. Or dog, or whatever it is. Do you realize it's the same way with you? If you don't want a habit, don't start it. I don't care what the habit is. Smoking, drinking, dipping, chewing, cussing, overeating, too much candy. And see, the devil can't tempt you with something that you don't know what it is. See, I can have desire to smoke because I used to smoke. My grandkids have no desire to smoke. They've never smoked. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't start something, you won't have nothing. You know, I thought about it. I hear a lot, and I'm so thankful. The power of God is awesome either way that you go. But, you know, they have these recovery things, and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful to God that He does do that, and people can come out and different things. But, Johnny, you know what the greatest testimony to me is? Those like Rondé. Those like Oney Cooper. That they can stand and say, God has kept me all my life. I never smoked a cigarette. I don't know what even alcohol smells like. They don't have that. I mean, we can't say that we have that, some of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's great, but I don't hear a lot about that. But I hope and I pray that that is the testimony of my grandkids. That God keeps them all the days of their life. That where every time it comes up, as they live out of their spirit before God and they say, nope, I'm drinking all the alcohol I want to drink and it's none. I don't want none. They'll never have to deal with that if you don't ever start it. Do you understand? It's the same way after you get born again. With me and you, whatever habit you have, whether it's cussing or, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a habit or whatever, but whatever it is that you want to change, you got to stop feeding it. If you have a problem with, let's say, this pictures and things that you shouldn't be looking at, you're going to have to stop it. My, you got to starve it. Because whatever you feed, it grows, it gets bigger, it gets stronger. That's why the Bible says, be nourished up in the Word of God. Jesus Himself said, man shall not live by bread alone. Talking about this natural food. He said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is food for you, spirit man, spirit woman. What? In the spirit, you're not male nor female. That's why the Bible says, in Christ, you're not any of these things. Right? That's how come you can't get into that. Well, a woman can't preach. Well, good grief. So you think a physical body stops Jesus? Whatever. We won't get into all that anyway. I ain't got time for all that. But notice what he said there. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. He's talking about you. You. Who are you? You are the spirit that is sitting in the inside this body right now. That's you. He said, beloved, I wish above all that you would prosper. How you going to prosper? It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take you telling yourself, no. We don't like to hear that nowadays. Oh, you don't turn on the TV and hear that kind of preaching much. Tell yourself, no. Turn the TV on. Oh, tell yourself, yeah, I can have that yacht. Yeah, I can live in the Bahamas. Yeah, I can do this. Oh, the grace of God just sets me free. Just do whatever I want to do, and it's okay. You keep feeding that. You'll find out if it's okay or not. It'll take you down a road that you don't want to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. But he says that thou mayest prosper, talking to the spirit part of you. He says, and be in health. He's talking about the body part of you. But also, how many knows we're supposed to have a healthy mind? There's people that are sick in their mind. Right? And he says, and even as thy soul prospers, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So in order for your mind, your will, and your emotions to prosper, number one, you need to be prospering in your spirit. We done talked about what will help you do that. Good preaching, Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, fasting, praying, spending time, and obeying God, right? For you to be strong in your spirit, because that's the one has to make the decisions. Once you get born again, we are supposed to live out of our spirit being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to control us. And what I mean by control us is not that He will by taking over. He will by you yielding your will to Him. That's the only way He will, because He's not a demon. Now, a demon or a wrong spirit, they come and they will dominate you. Even though they have no authority over you, they are outlaws and they will dominate you if you allow them to. So you need to be prospering in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. In order for your mind, will, and emotions to prosper, you're going to have to renew your mind to think like God thinks. What does that mean? It means when you find it in the Word of God, you need to find all the Scriptures. Look, get you a Strong's Concordance or look it up on your phone or however. The In Him Scriptures. Right? In Him, of Him, by Him. It'll tell you who you are, what you've got. Right? It'll tell you how healed you are. It'll tell you how blessed you are in Him. All of these are in Him. They're not outside of Him. All you can do, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. See, some people think, do you understand what courage is? Some people think courage is, I don't feel fear. That's a lie. It's not what he told Joshua over there. Don't feel fear, Joshua. Is that what he said? Don't feel it? No. Why? I mean, how dumb is that? You got somebody standing in front of you that's 10 foot tall or taller. I mean, for real. And what was it? His shield weighed something like 600 shekels or something or other. I mean, I couldn't even pick that baby up. You're 17 years old. And the Bible talks about he's a ruddy, scrawny little guy. He probably looked like Scotty Amonte, except skinnier. I mean, I don't know. Because you see, to look at it in the natural, it's got to look like it's impossible. I guarantee you, Samson wasn't no big guy. Why? But when the power of God would come on him, everybody could say, this is something supernatural, because we know that guy can't carry no gates of the city. Look at him. So just imagine that. You're 17 years old. You weigh probably 120 pounds, soaking wet maybe. And here's this Philistine, and you go out there, and he tells you all that he's going to do to you, but you're courageous. You got faith and you're courageous. Does that mean David didn't feel fear? Absolutely not. Courage is, I feel fear, but I'm going to take your head off anyway. Because see, we read over there in Ephesians last week, he said, be angry. Oh, I feel like throat punching you, right? Or whatever it is you do, giving you a piece of somebody a piece of your mind, whatever, telling them off, calling them out the name, whatever it is. I feel like doing that. But because that's not me and that's a feeling, I'm going to bless you. Let me just give you $100 here. Won't you just go buy you something? It's the same. That's what courage is. I feel fear. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take your head off, right? And I'm going to feed it to the birds today. Doesn't mean you don't feel fear. You do feel it. But by faith, right? By the Word of God, right? By you have a covenant with God, and you know this uncircumcised Philistine don't got one. You know God is for you, right? The Bible says He is, don't it? Well, then who is it that can prevail against you? That's what you believe. When it looks like and it sounds like the other, if you're going to live out of your spirit. This addiction or whatever it is that says I can't be free, I'll never overcome. The Bible says I have already been made more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. Right? Word, y'all getting too quiet. I should be hearing a lot of hallelujahs and amens. Is that what it says or not? I'm not making it up, right? Then we ought to be shouting because we're free. We're more than conquerors. No matter what comes against us, He's already won the victory, right? Then what do we got to be sad about? Because of how it feels. Because of what it looks like. Because I'm still in it. It don't matter where you are. Anybody can come out at any time if they choose. If they choose. Why? Because according to Isaiah 40:31, right? He gives power to the faint. He increases might to those who has no strength. Right? Paul said, when I am weak, He is strong. See, it's not based on me and you what we can do, but we have to make the choice because God cannot, He will not. I can't do what His part is, but He will not do the part He's given me to do. If I make the choice, He's there. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says He is my standby. He's my comforter. He's my strengthener. He's my counselor. Right? Don't it say all these things about Him? He's right there to what? If I'm sitting on the couch drinking sweet tea, you're going to sit on the couch drinking sweet tea with me. Why? He's my helper. He's not my doer for me. He won't. Nowhere in Scripture do you find where Jesus said, pray to the Father that He would take authority over the devil. Y'all got that Scripture? There's not one. You go over there, what is that, Matthew 18 or somewhere around in there? He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. He said, whatever you, Christian, bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He didn't say God. He didn't say the Holy Spirit. He didn't say Jesus. He said, whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. But whatever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Right? So who has the keys? We do. But see, we're the ones that has to take the authority. We've been given the keys, but if we don't use them, the gates of hell will prevail. Why? Because you do nothing. But see, when I make the choice and I open up my mouth and I decree the word of the Lord and declare the word of the Lord, the Bible says the angels hearken, what? To the voice of His word, whether it's coming out of His mouth directly or out of my mouth, because it's already come out of His mouth. The Bible says that they are ministering spirits sent to minister to me and you, the heirs of salvation. We've got all kinds of help. We've got all kinds of strength, right? If we use it. But what I found, and I have done, so that's exactly how I know, is a lot of people just want to crawl into bed and say, God help me. I have squalled and bawled and prayed and said, God help me. I did not realize, Johnny, what I was really saying was, God do it for me. He won't. Because I have free choice. In everything I do, everything I think, right? My mind is my mind, and there's no scripture that says God will control it. You better believe now the devil will. He will bombard you with thought after thought after thought to where you think it's you. Listen to me. And thoughts that comes to you that's not lined up with the Word of God, say it out your mouth. That's not my thought, and I don't take it. Right? What is it over there in Matthew 6 that he said, take no thought by saying? When you say a thought, you took it, now you own it. It's yours. But if you won't take it, you come against it with the Word of God. Just like this, the Bible says, according to 1 Corinthians 13, love thinks no evil. Right? Thinks no evil toward its neighbor. So in order for me to walk in the love of God, I'm going to have to cast down every bad thought that comes to me about Sandy or Nita or anybody. Right? Well, faith works how? Don't forget your love walk in there with your faith operating. They always go together. You can't have strong faith without walking in strong love of God, because God is love. And faith is a supernatural spiritual force. So if I'm going to walk in the love of God, every time a thought comes to me, every time, I have to say out of my mouth, nope. I take that thought. That's not my thought, devil. I don't think your thoughts. I think no evil toward my neighbor. I think only good, right? Love covers. And God forbid I go telling anything bad about anybody, because that's not good. Because you're going to reap what you sow. You will be uncovered because you got it somewhere. No matter how you try to keep it in the closet, God knows exactly where it's at. Anyway, let's get off of that. I'm going to open that can. But anyway, so I'm going to have to control my thoughts. And if I can control my thoughts, and I can, right? Say that. I can control my thoughts. Why? It's your mind. It belongs to you. My mind belongs to me. And if I will control my thoughts, listen, and you don't cast out thoughts by thinking other thoughts. You need to cast out thoughts by saying out of your mouth whatever the Word of God says about it. If I have in these thoughts, I can't overcome, I can't quit, I can't do this. The Bible says, out of your mouth, say it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Now, I'm talking about all things in His will. Don't be trying to be going all things after somebody's husband or wife. Come on now. Or coveting somebody's pink Cadillac. Whatever it is, we're talking about something that's in the will of God. Because the Holy Ghost ain't going to help you to do something outside of the will of God. He's not going to strengthen you to do that crap. So let's keep that straightened out. But he says, I can. So I say out of my mouth, I can do all things, right? Through him. I'm in him. He's in me. He's my helper. He's strengthening me. He's already been before me, right? He's my rear guard. He's got my back. All this stuff. You say it out of your mouth. And then those thoughts, they either stop and go away, but they'll come back at different times. And you do the same thing all over again. Till you get to the point to where, honestly, I have been there before, to where I see a thought out here, a wrong thought. Instead of by the time it gets in here, I realize it. Catch myself like in the back door on what I'm thinking on. I see it out here. And he knows it's a lot better to get it right out here because you know it's not you before it ever gets to here. Now, you can't stop wrong thoughts from coming to you, but you can stop them from playing in your head. Because if you don't stop them from playing in your head, it's going to get in your heart. And the Bible says your heart is ground. And whatever you put, that's why fence posts rot. Why? The ground's trying to make them grow and it'll cause them to rot. Why? There's no life in them. Your heart is the same way the Bible talks about. He says, guard it. Right? Guard your heart. For out of your heart is going to flow the issues of your and my life. So whatever I think on, that's why he says meditate, think on the Word of God. That Word of God will get down in your heart and bring you a hundredfold harvest and you'll become so transformed you don't even recognize yourself. I told Scotty, I think it was yesterday, I said, you better take a picture of me. I don't know, I'm having this coming up on the inside of me like the Lord is saying, my spirit knows before I ever even got here. The DNA of God is in your spirit, Sandy. The day you left Him and come here into the earth, He knows the plan. Now, it's not all revealed to my mind and all that. And it's like my spirit is saying to me, Tracy, you're about to be so transformed your entire life, you're not even going to recognize yourself. And I'm like, woo! Glory to God! And it ain't me doing it because I don't even know what I'm saying. Just follow Him. That's all. Just do what He says. And I told him yesterday, I was sitting there on the couch and just, every time it comes up, and I told him, I said, you better take a picture of me. And he's looking at me strange, you know, kind of like y'all was. He said, oh yeah, why's that? That's how he talks to me. You know, he says, the way he talks to y'all that I talk, that I don't talk that way when he's up here. That's how I say, oh yeah, why's that? I told him, I said, you better be a little nicer to me. But anyway, he said, yeah, why's that? I said, because you're about not to recognize me. Oh yeah, why's that? I said, because I'm fixing to be so transformed. But ain't that what the Bible says? Be transformed. That word means metamorphosis. It's like you see this worm. I mean, it's got, 300 legs or something or other, and it's black and striped and all this. Just a worm. Ugly old thing. And some of them, they got this fuzzies on them or whatever. But, Johnny, they go in this cocoon thing, this nasty looking, looks like spider webs or something or other. I don't know. And they go in there, and they're in there for a while. And there you don't see nothing happening, but there's a transformation taking place, Sandy. And it's not the worm that's doing it. It's the DNA that's inside that worm. That when it gets time and it gets over there where it's supposed to be in that cocoon, it's being transformed. And then when it gets time, that cocoon opens up and here comes a beautiful, all multicolored butterfly. And that thing no longer crawls on the ground. But now it flies and it soars. Amen? And that's going to be me and you because He has already said when He comes, we will be that glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish. But how many knows that's going to be up to me and you? Because we got to choose Him. In His will, in His way, every day. And it's not hard. It's hard on the flesh, sure, because why? My flesh wants to eat the brownies, Sandy. But my spirit is saying, Jesus, don't weigh 400 pounds. You can't do what I need you to do and go where I need you to go and last as long as I need you to last eating all them brownies, Teresa. Y'all not saying nothing, and that's okay. I get it. None of us want to admit we eat too many brownies. Which in here lately, Johnny, mine has not been the brownies. Oh, your pastor, I'm telling you. Y'all get pastor, anointed pastor. I get Scotty the man. And that man is trying to take me and stop me by Dollar General almost every day. Why are you laughing? So now, here lately, and it's my choice. He helps me with it, but it's my choice. And I told him, I said, this is it now. After today, starting in the morning, this is it. I'm not hanging out with him no more. Do all you want to. It has been, Sandy, them, what do they call them drumstick ice creams. Oh, they've got them now. You don't know which flavor you're getting. It's you know, it's chocolate on the outside with these little, Rice Krispie-like things or whatever. Oh, and you bite into it, it's just chocolate. But then you find out, is it the chocolate or the vanilla ice cream? It's a surprise. Till you ate the chocolate off of it. Then you find out if it's the vanilla or the chocolate ice cream. Oh, and then, Sandy, once you eat it on the inside, you know, it's got this stuck caramel or something right in the middle of it. And then you go on. What are you laughing about? Then you go on, and you keep on eating, and you lick all the ice cream down. And then you got, oh, Sandy, the cone is chocolate now. It's not that brown stuff it used to be. The cone has got chocolate around the top, and it's chocolate in the cone. Then you keep on eating it, and you get in there to about this far, I think. Yeah. Oh, you know, do you, Johnny? Yeah, you know. Everybody in here is going to go get them drumstick ice creams when I get done. Don't do it. It's sin, I'm telling you, don't do it. But then probably about that far you get down to that, there's no more ice cream. But you know what it is? Look at Sandy, she's going, tell me. You get down there, and it's no longer, it's pure, unadulterated chocolate. Thick, solid, about like that. Chocolate, and then the cones on the outside of it. And then you ate that, and you're just like, oh, that was so little, I just need another one. I think they come like 8 or 10 to the box, and what, a third box, maybe? Some second or third. Anyway, that's the end of that. Now, y'all hold me accountable and help me. Now, no more of them. Why am I telling you that? See, you laugh, but see, we won't talk about the drug addict. Y'all not saying nothing. We want to talk about the heroin addict, the smokers, the dippers, the drinkers, all of that stuff. But we don't want to talk about the drumstick eaters. Why? Because we are one. Woo, a lot of high blood pressure would stop if you just quit eating all that salt. Ooh, hit a nerve, did we? Let me go on here, quit meddling. Let me get back over to the drumstick candy. Ooh, I got about 2 minutes. Let's see if we hit all this. Here we go. Lead right in from my drumsticks to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Y'all don't go by them. I'm telling you, they're of the devil. Don't do it. What is that? The Bible? Proverbs talks about that food. Looks good, tastes good, but it ain't good. It's them, I'm telling you. It tastes really good, but it's not good. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start reading in verse 23, and I'm going to read the Amplified Version. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking, right? He should know everything he's talking about. He wrote like 1/3 of the New Testament, probably. But in verse 23, he says, "And I do this for the sake of the good news of the gospel, in order that I may become a participator in it and share in its blessings along with you. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize?" And we know we have a prize, right? Other place he said, "I reach for the mark, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So there's a prize. He goes on and he says, "Only one receives the prize, so run your race." Everybody's got one. "That you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training..." Ty, can you tell us something about training? You're a wrestler, right? Yeah. I bet you don't just drink anything and eat anything. I bet Coach tells you not to, don't he? What is it, football? I think you're not allowed to drink soda? Yeah, how come? You're in training. Come on, little Christian. Don't eat them drumsticks while you're in training. Oh, y'all so quiet. Let me go on here and quit meddling. He says, Now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself. What'd I say? Holy Ghost gonna restrict you. He did not come slap that drumstick out of my hand not one time. Not one box of them. I think I'm on the second or third, I can't remember. Anyway, don't even matter. He never one time said, he comes, don't eat that. But I have thought, I was so little, I need to go get another one. I have thought, you don't need another one. That's probably him. Let me finish reading this. I got to stop because our time is up. He says, restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. But like a boxer, I do not buffet my body. I buffet my body. I handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it for fear after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, but be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. Now, I've got to stop because time is up. But notice what he says. Be gentle with people, but be rough with you. You hear me? Be gentle with people. But be rough with you. Why? Because he says, I discipline myself. That is one of the fruit of the Spirit that's already in your spirit. Right? Self-control. It don't say Holy Ghost control. Self-control. And the only way that is going to get stronger is for me and you to work it out. And that's by telling yourself, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm going to go read my chapter. Or whatever the case might be. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say quickly before we close?